Buddy on my phone.
Okay, we're good to go.
Okay. Okay, so I will bring this meeting to order at 5:31 p.m. for CCI. We can go around and introduce ourselves. I'm Shannon Knight, Chair.
Vicki Olson, Vice Chair.
Ed Schwartz, Member.
Gary Wolvatny, Member.
Stephen Shear, Member.
Owen, can you hear us? Looks like he might be. Oh, no, he's not present.
He looks frozen. I think he's frozen.
I can't tell. All right, I'll send him.
Okay.
I'll send him an email real quick.
Okay.
Oh, he moved.
Oh. Are you there, Owen?
He's muted.
Oh. Yeah, you're muted. Looks like he has technical issues too. All right, we'll just wait for him to be back online.
I can hear you. Oh. Yep.
All right. Hi, Owen.
Sorry.
No worries. Do you want to introduce yourself since you're new? Tell us about yourself a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. My name's Owen Zentel. I have lived in Westland since 2013. I'm a small business owner, metal supply company on Northeast Portland. I have a wife and three kids. One's at Cedar Oak Primary, one's at Rosemont Ridge, and then one in high school. So that's kind of a snapshot of who I am.
Great. Well, welcome.
Thanks.
Do we have any public members tonight?
We do not.
Okay. All right. So I am going to turn it over to Ed. Main reason we're here tonight is Ed sits on the Tax Increment Finance District Committee, and he has some questions that wants to get some feedback from CCI on.
Thank you, Shannon. Yes, I guess if it's not for me, we would all have the night off, but sorry about that. But I did want to let you guys know about this Tax Increment Finance District that is being considered by the city. I don't know how familiar you are with it, but I won't go into a lot of detail, but it's a way of raising some revenue in certain parts of the city to be able to make public improvements to hopefully encourage more investment by developers in those parts of the city. And as part of that project, so I'm on a committee called the Tax Increment Finance District Advisory Committee, the TIF committee. And we've had three meetings so far. Our goal is to put together a recommendation to City Council. My understanding is the City Council initiated this project, and we're to put together a recommendation regarding the boundaries of the district and certain other parameters. And among those are some of the projects, the infrastructure projects that the city would be investing in based on the tax revenue that it would receive from this district. And so the projects at our last meeting were listed, and I don't know, Darren, do you have a copy that you could share with us, or can I share my screen? You know, I guess I could try. Yeah, looks like maybe I can share my screen. So let me just try this. Okay. So hopefully you're seeing the the list of priority one projects. And basically, what the committee is trying to do is put together, prioritize this list, if you will. There's priority one projects, priority two, and priority three. I'm sure Shannon's having fun trying to read this on her phone, but the two big ones right off the bat are the Willamette Falls Drive improvements, phase one and phase two. Then there's a realignment of Tandler Drive and several others on there, 8th Avenue connection, 8th Avenue improvements, Riverfront Trail. And I wanted to make everybody aware of these projects and maybe get any input that we have, or alternatively, if you're out among community members, if you're at a neighborhood association meeting or at a homeowners association meeting, something like that, this would be something that the committee would very much like to get feedback on from citizens as far as their idea of the priority of some of these projects. Now, I understand this is just a list. It doesn't have a lot of detail, but I do think it gives enough information that people can kind of take a look at it and say, well, I kind of prioritize this over that, so I would rather see this a little bit higher or something like that. So the goal of the committee was to reach out to as many citizens as possible and get their feedback on these projects and their priorities. Let me show you priority two projects as well. So there's not as many on this list. Willamette Falls Drive and 12th Street, Willamette Falls Drive and 14th Street, 10th Street and Blankenship, and historic Willamette Parking, which is a pretty good sized ticket item. And then priority three, Willamette River Fishing Dock / Ladder, and then a new Riverfront Park down in the Willamette area. I think it's supposed to be over where the ponds are right now, somewhere in that area. But again, the goal of these projects is to encourage investment by developers along the Willamette Riverfront, where the waterfront project is being worked on and contemplated. So if you have a chance, I can either send you this presentation, or Darren, if you could maybe just pull out, I only have a PDF, but if you could pull out the three slides that I'm showing and send it to the committee, maybe that would be helpful after this meeting. It doesn't have to be done right now. The other thing to point out is these first two projects, Willamette Falls Drive improvements, phase one and phase two, are again very big ticket items, $12 million and 10, almost $11 million. These are probably not going to take place for a number of years until this tax increment financing district builds up enough revenue to be able to start to fund some of these projects. So it could take a while, you know, 5 or more years before we start to see too many of these. But I thought it was important to let everybody know that this is going on. The committee will be making its recommendation to City Council in another month or so. We have a meeting scheduled for October after everybody has gathered input on these projects. Of course, it's always the possibility to testify to City Council to let them know your thoughts, or anybody else is encouraged to do that as well. So that was one item. The only other item I wanted to mention was, as far as, again, public input on these projects, I was thinking of encouraging a vote whenever these district would go to issue bonds to pay for some of these projects. So a vote of the people, because I think it's important for the people to have some input on this. So that has not yet been decided by the committee, whether that'll be a recommendation to council or not. But it's something that I was thinking would be important for the citizens to see where their money goes. Most other bond measures that the city puts out there go to a vote of the people. So I think this would also make sense for this to happen. FYI, a lot of cities around here have had these TIF districts. Oregon City had one, and now they have passed a law that requires, or a measure that requires, a public vote, a citizen vote on their issuance of any bonds for their TIF districts. So I thought that would be a good way to get the people involved as well. So that was it, Shannon. I don't know if anybody has any questions or any comments, but.
I have a question, Ed.
Sure, Vicki.
What committee is this, or what group is this?
It's called the Tax Increment Financing District Advisory Committee. It's a long name. Because it's a TIF, Tax Increment Financing District Advisory Committee. There is information on the city website about this that has been previous. We've had 3 meetings so far. We had one each week for the past 3 weeks, basically. And we're right at the point now where we've scheduled a 4th meeting for the October, and we'd like to get people's input on this as well. And you're welcome to come to the committee meeting and testify as well there. And it looks like, I'm sorry, did that answer your question?
Yes. Are you guys doing a survey or putting anything out for input? How are you collecting public input?
The best, what we're trying to do is reach out to the NAs. John Williams has offered, and I think Darren would certainly be willing as well, to meet with NAs and describe what this district is all about and what these projects are all about, to try and gather public input as well. Hope I didn't put words in your mouth there, Darren, but okay. But yeah, John Williams certainly is chairing these meetings, and he's offered to come to any NA meeting. So that was the main thrust, was NAs, but I thought, since we're all about public input here, that it'd be good for people to know that this is going on for our committee. And Stefan, I think you're up.
Yeah, thanks for sharing this information, Ed. And my apologies, you may have said this at the beginning, but in terms of like the existing prioritized lists, how were those formulated? Was it the TIF committee or?
No, that was, well, Darren, could you explain where the prioritization came from?
Sure will. Yeah, so it was, so the list was born out of existing city master plans, transportation system plan, sewer master plan, stormwater master plan, any master plan the city has, identified projects in the district. And then based on the projects, staff whittled it down to a certain amount of costs. So the, not to get in deep into the weeds of the TIF district, but the TIF district will generate a certain amount of money. You know, it's projected to generate a certain amount of money. So then the projects can't exceed that amount, right? Because you're only going to have a certain amount of money to spend. So then based on the certain amount of the sort of the cap on the funds and all the projects, we prioritize them based on which projects would potentially generate development, right? So if you're building a regional park for $17 million, how much is that going to generate in development? Versus if you're improving Willamette Falls Drive, how much would that generate in development? Because the development is what drives the TIF district to increase its funds over time, if you know anything about TIF districts. But yeah, so that's the way we prioritize them. And then the question was given to the committee, do you agree with this prioritization? And that's when the committee asked to be able to take it out to the, you know, the neighborhood associations or the groups they represent, and get feedback from those groups and come back to the next meeting. So it was just the first shot from staff. And then, yeah, then the TIF committee will ultimately determine the priorities. Or recommend what the priorities are. Let's put it that way. City Council determines priorities.
Yeah, all this goes into a recommendation to council, and then they're the ultimate deciders on whether this goes forward at all, or whether it, you know, if it does go forward, in what form it will take, the boundaries of the district, and again, the priority of these projects as well. Yeah, Vicki.
I have enough. So the areas, so people come in, businesses come in to a certain area and they are taxed. Does that tax money stay in that area? Does it go back into that area?
The money goes to the TIF district. What it relies on is the district, once it's in place, mm-hmm. the tax rate, the existing tax rate, that money will still flow to the city as it does right now.
Okay.
Any increase in assessed value after that point, once the district starts, and additional taxes that come from that increase in assessed value will go into the TIF district to pay off any lending, any bonds, anything that was issued to pay for all this infrastructure. I think I pretty much got that right, didn't I, Darren?
Yeah, so to clarify, it's not a tax, Vicki. It's just the collection of the property taxes goes to a specific purpose, those projects in that district, so within the boundaries of the district. So as Ed said, so if the district has, you know, $100 worth of assessed value right now, that would continue over the course of the 30 years, that $100 of assessed value would go into the city's general fund. And then as the property values increase over the 30 years, that slice of increased property values, the taxes we get off of that, would then fund those projects in the district. And then once the district sunsets after 30 years, that whole value, if it goes from $100 to $1,000, then that $1,000 then gets distributed out to all the taxing jurisdictions.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not an additional tax, it's just collecting the property taxes in a different manner to spend them within the district.
I think I saw Gary's hand first. Gary?
Thanks. I've seen a presentation on this, so I have some understanding. But I guess I had a couple questions on, and I know the Planning Commission, we're going to get a presentation from the TIF consultant, I think next week. So I guess one of the things that I was wondering about is the money that's collected through the TIF district. I mean, it's going to be used within the district, but without the TIF district, that money would be applied or could be applied throughout the city. So if there's a, I mean, is there the possibility that other portions of the city could suffer or have less funding available for infrastructure issues because it's being directed to the waterfront?
Well, in my opinion, there could be, you know, a little shortfall of money going to the general fund initially, because our city operates on a very tight budget to begin with. As some of us know already, we have a very low tax rate here in West Lynn based on decisions that were made a long time ago. So my concern I'm also on the budget committee for the city, and my concern was, knowing how tight our budget is, that we're going to be taking normally, again, going back to Darren's example, let's say we have $100 of assessed valuation. Normally, the tax assessor will increase that 3% every year just based on normal property values going up over time. The hope is that by investing in these areas, it will increase more than 3% per year. There will be additional revenue that wouldn't have been there if we didn't make these investments and cause the development to occur. But to answer your question, yeah, that 3% that would have normally flowed to the general fund will go to the TIF district to be used for these projects. So I do have some concerns about that, but that's just a personal opinion. It doesn't represent the committee at all.
So, yes, yeah, so to offset Ed's personal opinion, so as far as infrastructure projects go, they're typically funded out of the enterprise funds, the water fund, the sewer fund, the transportation fund, and a lot of them are also funded through development. So those funds will not be impacted by that. Those funds are collected through your rates on your water and sewer. So again, if development happens because of the TIF district, that development pays systems development charges, which then get put into the coffers of the city to pay for projects elsewhere. So even though there might be there's a perception that that's gonna cause some financial strain on the city, as far as infrastructure goes, it shouldn't have any impact on that, because if if development is happening, those SDCs they're paying are going to be utilized in other parts of the city also. Same with, you know, if there's a water line upgrade that's needed, the water fund is still going to continually be paid into through your fees that you pay. Same with sewer, stormwater. To answer Gary, your question, no, I don't believe it would impact other infrastructure projects around the city.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
And Stephanie, you had your hand up, but it's down now. So did we answer your question too?
Yeah, I answered my question. I was just struggling with the hand button. So thanks.
Okay. All right. Well, Shannon, did you have a question?
Yeah, sorry. I can't figure out on my phone where the hand button is.
wave the hand.
So on the Willamette Falls project, I'm assuming that's the bike and bike lane and stuff, but what's the two phases? Like it was broken up to phase one and two or something?
Yeah, I believe phase one is from 10th Street to Sunset, and then phase two is Sunset to Highway 43. So, and again, that's, I think they're projecting that the city would pay 50% of the cost of the projects, and then development or other funds would pay for the other 50%. So for instance, like if the roundabout happens down on 43 and Willamette Falls Drive, and it gets rerouted through the mill parking lot as proposed, the developer would bear a certain amount of those costs also. So it wouldn't just be entirely the TIP district. I mean, the TIP district could pay for it, but the developer would typically pay their fair share of the costs also. So it's sort of a public-private partnership between property owners in the city and TIP districts.
Okay. Yeah, I thought the project list looked really good. I liked all of those proposed projects. And then as far as the feedback for the vote, so the other way would be if we said no on the vote, it would be just the committee that would be deciding, or who would be the, or council, or who would be deciding on the projects.
Once the district is formed, it will be the council that comprises the committee that oversees the district and makes the decisions on where the money is spent. At least that's my understanding. I'm assuming they will certainly take the advice of staff as far as that as well. Darren, correct me if I...
That's correct, yeah. So the city council would act as the TIF agency. They would have power over the budget. So they would make the budgetary decisions in the district.
But if we encouraged a vote, or we, you know, told you to tell the group that we prefer a vote, then that means the project would go on a ballot list. And then, so if the community says no to it, then they just not do anything, or do they then not prioritize different projects and then put that back on the ballot? It seems like that's a lot of going back and forth to the voters.
Yeah. So I'm no expert in this, so you could wait until you had collected the $40 million and then spend it. But typically TIP districts will get a certain amount of money in their budget, and then they'll bond against that, right? And the city does that with projects now, right? You'll bond against it, and then that's all built into the projection of costs in the district, and where I said about the projects can't exceed a certain amount of costs, and all that bonding and everything is built into that. So it just gives the city a mechanism to do projects sooner than later, right? If we waited until we had $12 million to do phase one of Highway or Willamette Falls Drive, that might be 15 years from now. But if we could bond against the 2 million or 3 million we have after a couple of years, then that would get the project done sooner, and then encourage that redevelopment in the district. So it's just another funding mechanism.
Okay. So in theory, then the vote would get projects done sooner, the vote option?
Or no, I would think it would delay everything, because
delay everything. That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, Yeah.
My intent with the vote was to just get people's involvement. Arguably, the city council is, of course, beholden to the citizens. And if people don't like the decisions they're making, they can vote people out of office. So in a sense, they get a vote already on the bonds. But I just thought Oregon City was doing it. And I thought it seemed like a good idea to me to get people involved. And it really makes the city council really look at these projects and say, what did the people want to happen first? And if they put forward a bond measure and a vote for a project that everybody supports, that's the ultimate goal, right? Is to go ahead and support it that way. So just my thought. So anybody else, any questions? Yeah, Gary.
So I guess on the face of it, I would think that any sort of bonding would require bond issuance would require a vote from the public. I mean, it does on all, at least on all the other circumstances that I'm aware of. So that seems to be the appropriate path, but we're not going to decide that here at CCI.
sorry to interrupt you, Gary. So there's two different things we're talking about, right? One is we're gonna raise your property taxes to pay for the water line. Right, that's going to a public vote, right? All of you, it's going to impact all of you. In this situation, it's not raising anybody's taxes. It's just, again, collecting taxes and then spending it in that district to help that district improve itself, right? So it's not costing anybody any more money. It's just it's a funding mechanism. It's not a tax on anybody. It's just a way to fund projects to try to create redevelopment in certain areas. Again, it's been used all over the state, and again, I'm no expert in it, but previous jurisdiction I worked in, you know, they have two TIF districts, and they've been very successful in creating redevelopment projects in their areas of the city that were underutilized, 20 years ago. So again, it's a funding mechanism, it's not a tax.
That makes sense, Darren. So maybe just one follow-on question, and that is, if the TIF district accumulated a couple million dollars to put toward the full, toward bonding so that more money would be available, would that be used to try and get a bond for the full amount for the TIF district, or would it only be limited to a few million dollars in addition to the $2 million that's in the pot?
Yeah, again, I'm not an expert in this subject, so I'm not sure exactly how it works, but okay. Yeah, so you basically just bond against the money that's in the bank, basically the TIF bank. And then, again, like I said, it's all accounted for in the TIF plan that this advisory committee is looking at right now. So it's all accounted for repaying the interest on the bonds and all of that over the course of time. So yeah, it's just another funding mechanism that would be available to the city and the TIF district to get projects done sooner than later. Like again, the consultant talked about some communities will not bond against the TIF monies. They'll wait until they have the $12 million in the TIF fund and then go out and build the project. But that, that takes a lot longer. So if redevelopment's not happening without the projects, then you're going to be butting up against the life of the TIF district before you have enough money to do anything.
Right. Plus the cost of construction goes up.
Exactly right. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I think I saw Owen's hand next.
Hey, Ed. Are all of these projects listed on the city website, or is there a resource that we can go to get a better handle on what each of them are, so when we talk to people we can kind of have a better idea of how to describe it, so you know, we can give you good positive feedback and the priorities.
I think we've at each meeting we've had a PowerPoint presentation. The last one included this list of projects, and I think they've been posting those on the city website. Darren, do you know for sure if that's all on there?
I do not, but I'll make sure that I send a, if everything's on the website, I'll send a link to it. And if not, then I'll send the materials, the PowerPoint materials that have been with the group the first 3 weeks. So it gives a gives an overview of what TIF is, and then gets into the boundary and then the projects, and it explains the financing and all of that too. So yeah, I'll get it out to the CCI.
And I see Vicky and then Shannon, it looks like.
Well, Darren, I have a question, if you can clarify, when you say the bonding is a funding mechanism, like the school bonds, we vote on school bonds and then I as a homeowner pay for those. So is it different than that? Is it a loan that the city is going to be taking out and the city pays?
Yeah, but again, I have to qualify. I'm no expert in this. Uh-huh. I know just enough to be dangerous. But yeah, so when I say it's a funding mechanism, so again, you have this district. Mm-hmm. It's accumulating money through the increment on the assessed value in the district over time. You know, the city has choices on how they can spend that money, right? You can wait, if the project's 12 million, you can wait until you have 12 million in there, and then you just pay straight out of the TIF fund, cash for it basically, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can get a couple million in there and then go out and get a bond to pay the rest of it, and then you pay off the interest on the bond over the life of the district. Mm-hmm. So again, it's not costing any of the citizens any more money. It's just, again, it's collecting property taxes in a different way, and then spending those property taxes in that district.
Okay.
Specific projects that, and again, we have to identify the projects in the plan in order to fund them through the funds that are collected in the district. So we couldn't just all of a sudden 10 years from now decide we want to fund something else. We would have to go back through an amendment of the plan to do that. So that's why it's important to identify the projects up front that we want to fund over the next 30 years.
All right, Shannon.
So, I mean, I agree that there should probably be some public input as to what projects are, you know, prioritized or done or whatever. But I would be afraid that going to a vote would, I mean, just it's like 6 months in between each vote, right? You just even get on the ballot, you're losing all that time. So I would be concerned about that slowing down progress as well. So maybe it's something that, like, a recommendation to council would be that the CCI look at, like, how to make sure the public is properly engaged on what projects are going to be done, so that, you know, it's going to neighborhood associations, it's going out in surveys or something like that, so that we make sure that at least council is making the decision based on public input and not just on what they want to do.
Yeah, I think that's a good approach. So I was, you know, curious to get people's feedback, and I think you make a lot of sense with that approach. So thank you.
But Ed, you did say it could take like 5 years to kick it off though, didn't you?
Well, I think the consultant used that as a potential example, because initially, you know, the revenues, the increase in property value won't be very, it'll be maybe a little over the normal 3%, but not very much. So the revenue flowing into the district, as Darren said, won't be a lot of money for the first, you know, 5 or 10 or even more years, until projects start to come in. You know, once developers start building things, then their tax rate goes up, right? They get reassessed and their tax rate will start to, the assessed value will start to increase over time. And towards the end of the project, or the district, the 30 years, you could see some fairly large, you know, revenues flowing into the district, which is the goal, flowing into the tax district. And then eventually, like Darren said, at the end of the 30 years, if the property values have increased considerably ahead of the normal 3% per year that they would have, it could be a significant increase to the city revenues at that time in 30 years. My concern was just the time up to then and taking some of the tax revenue, and it's not a lot, but taking some of the tax revenue from the city that it would normally be receiving. Did that answer your question, Owen?
Yeah, it did. Again, I know I'm coming in fresh out of not having a lot of information, but on these on the presentations for these different projects, do they give any sort of evaluation or information on what type of development could be driven by, for example, a riverfront trail? I mean, did somebody must have done some sort of project on the feasibility and what it could mean in terms of development? It'd be interesting to know that.
Yeah, well, like Darren said, you know, these projects were derived from existing plans, master plans that the city has, various plans already in place.
Okay.
They weren't created just for this process or for this district. They were already existing projects that the city had in plan. I think the TIF district is one possible way to get some of these projects financed in a more expeditious manner than they could have been without the TIF district. All right, well, I don't see any other questions. So, Gary.
So I just went to the city website and did a search on TIF, and you get website search results. And there's a link, or there's an item for each meeting. So the meetings were on September 6th, 13th, and 20th. So there are three distinct pages you have to click on, at least from what I'm seeing right now. And then each page presents the materials for that particular meeting.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And I guess it would be nice to have it all in one place, but at least it's all seems to be there. I'll take a look at it, and if there's anything missing, maybe I'll let Darren know. But thanks, Gary. Well, that's all I had. And Vicki.
So Gary, you went outside. So I'm on the website right now, and I typed that in, and I just was able to find one day. So you had to go outside of the website?
No, I was inside the website, but I just, so from the main page, the home page, I typed in TIF, mm-hmm. and then you get website search results. And at least on my search, the third one down is Westland Tax Increment Finance Advisory Committee. And then the fourth entry is the same. And then it goes down, and that covers September 6th and 13th. And then the meeting for the 20th is like the sixth entry down. And so you have to go into each one separately.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll send out the links in the, I just looked too, Gary. Thanks for doing that. The YouTube videos up there also, so you could actually watch the meeting too, if that would be helpful for some background information.
You can't actually watch the meeting on the YouTube. That's why I only got last 10 minutes of the meeting, because it didn't start broadcasting on the last meeting to the last 10 minutes. And the other two meetings, you can download the recordings from the agendas page, which is what I had listened to the first two, but the third one hasn't been uploaded. If you do the YouTube, it's really only 10 minutes long. So
yeah, that's right. We had a problem with the streaming of the YouTube on the last one. Yeah.
But if they post it to the website where you can download it, then you can download it again. Like I listened to the first two with the download option.
Well, I think it's an interesting topic. I knew nothing about TIF districts other than a little bit of research I did before I got on the committee, frankly. But the more I look into them, the more interesting they are to me, both on a pro and a con basis. So there's good things about them, and there are negative things about them. So, you know, if you have time, I know we're all busy, but do some research and see what you come up with, you know.
So one other way to access the meetings, the TIF meetings, is to go to the homepage, go to agendas, the link for meeting agendas. And then there's a list of all the different meetings for all the different community advisory groups and city council. And those are listed by date. So if you scroll down and you look, or you can do a search by date as well. And September 6th, 13th, and 20th, you can get those web pages.
Yeah, the 20th one is that only the 10 minutes one. So it needs the full audio to be uploaded at some point.
Yeah. We had WebEx issues last week at the Planning Commission as well. So maybe the same or similar issues.
Yeah, because that hasn't been posted yet either. Your Planning Commission meeting, so I'm assuming.
Lynn's out of town.
Yeah.
Back tomorrow. She'll take care of it all tomorrow. None of the rest of us know how to do any of that.
All right. So moving on in the agenda then. We're done, right? Everybody's good? Announcements. Does anybody have anything they want to tell the group? All right, Steph.
All right, thank you. So I will send out those links so you don't have to search for them. See, click right away. Then the only other announcement I have is, so the city council last week, 2 weeks ago, I can't remember now. So they directed staff to put together a working group for the Highway 43 project and the waterfront project. So I believe everyone but Stefan and Owen has participated in putting together a working group before. But so for Stefan and Owen's benefit, the way it's written into our code is that if the council wants a working group, staff will bring a proposed membership to the CCI. You'll talk about the proposed membership, agree on what you think the membership of the working group should be, then staff will go out and get the actual names for the members for that group, come back to the CCI, and then you'll make your final recommendation to council, then council appoints the working group. So that's the mechanism, and that's what the CCI function in that is. So there'll be two different working groups. We think we'll probably come in November and December to try to do both of them. Do the first step in November and the second step in December. And then those groups would start working probably in February or March. We'd still have to get a consultant on board for these projects. So the consultant will need to get up to speed, get everything going before we actually start having meetings. Then the second component of that is once the consultant's on board, we'll have the consultant put together a community engagement plan for the project, and we will bring that back to the CCI for review and any recommendations on other outreach methods that we have failed to identify, or that the CCI feels like, you know, this is great, but maybe you should do this also. So that'll be the other function the CCI will play in that. And again, that will probably be January or February before we get those to the CCI, because we gotta get the consultant on board and get the scope finalized and the contract and let them put together that plan. So that'll be the next big test from the CCI for planning related projects.
Okay, thanks. And do we have any kind of update on when we can meet with council again on our other stuff, our bylaws and the 2018 document stuff?
No, I do not have a date yet, but that's something it's on my task list, so I'll get that done this week.
Okay, thank you. All right, if we have nothing else, we will adjourn here at 6:15. Good to see you all.
Not all, thanks.